Hello, and welcome to AfterTalk Live. I'm Lisa Bogatin, co-founder of AfterTalk. We are www.aftertalk.com, an interactive grief and bereavement website where you can write to your deceased loved ones and share with others if you choose. We have two accomplished guests today. First, David Feigenbaum, co-founder of the National Students of AMS and assistant professor of medicine at University of Pennsylvania, and co-founder of the book we're interviewing called We Get It. Also joining us today is Heather Servati-Saib, counseling psychologist and professor at Purdue University, and co-author of the book as well called We Get It. For all young adults or college-age people, or students who have lost someone close to them and who grieve, this book is for you. This book is, to me, as I work my way through it, is like the North Star, the GPS to navigate specifically through your own grief journey. It's also for the loved ones of young people who grieve and those who wish to support them. So let's just jump right in. Heather, I'll start with you. Tell us about your book. What is it about?
Well, you described it well. Really, this book is really more about the young adults, the grieving young adults, and college students that David and I worked with. It really is the stories of their grief in their own words, which is what we were really looking for. We were really looking for a way for them to be able to express themselves to their peers, and they really did that in such an excellent way. I mean, we're really glad to have worked with all of them and glad to have facilitated their expression of their own grief. And, you know, it's really about offering that kind of perspective and narrative from those who are experiencing very similar kinds of death losses. When we first gave it to the publisher, one of the first things that our editor said was, you know, this is a portable support group, and David and I both went, yes, that is exactly what
they
were
got it.
For. They did.
That's great.
But
so they wrote the book.
The narrative.
You're the facilitators.
I really see it that way. I think we both do. We were, and there's 33 narratives in the book, and so a variety of different stories that speak to their different grief experiences. And that was also what we were hoping for, is not a book that would say, you know, this is really what grief is about, this is the way you need to do it, rather that everyone has their own unique journey, and here are 33 of them.
Yes, so I can only guess, David, why did you write the book? Are you expressing some of your own grief journey, or tell us about it?
First off, Lisa, thank you so much for having us on the call. Heather and I are so pleased for the opportunity to raise awareness and to share about this book, which Heather was completely spot on. This is so crucial to get out to young people and those who wish to support them. And just as you said, we think of it as a portable support group. So thank you. As far as the genesis of this book, I lost my mom while I was a college student, and I really struggled with feeling very alone. And I was very fortunate that I was able to connect with other students as I went through my college experience through the organization you mentioned, AMF, and I found incredible power from peer support, and meeting people who got what I was going through was so helpful for me. But the true genesis of this book goes all the way back to, I think, about 5 years ago when Heather and I were speaking about how pleased we were with the progress that AMF was making with reaching students, and certainly the great work that Heather was doing at Purdue and also throughout the Big Ten. But we realized that there are so many more students at schools that didn't have an AMF chapter or weren't being helped through a bereavement leave policy. And we wanted to create something that could reach all of those people that we couldn't through AMF and through the work that Heather was doing. And so that was the genesis, and that was the reason that we decided to write this book.
Do you have brothers or sisters that you shared your grief journey with?
I do. I have two older sisters, and they were out of college when my mom passed away. But of course, as young adults, they struggled, just as we all do, no matter how old we are when we deal with grief and loss of someone we love. But it was particularly difficult for the three of us in this young adult transitional phase. And particularly in my family, my mom was the glue in the family and the person we all turned to for support. So it was,
changes everything.
It was tough, absolutely.
Yeah. And in terms of AMF chapters, are there some schools that are just not as receptive to basically having, support on the campus, in the form of AMF or any other form for that matter?
So we found that that most college campuses are generally receptive to starting an AMF chapter. There have been some counseling centers that have said this is our territory, but the majority of counseling centers actually really welcome AMF chapters, and they say we really want the support for our students because we have so many grievers that come to us and we just can't support all of them. So the majority are very supportive of AMF. For us, the bottleneck is really just students who learn about that they could start an AMF chapter and the ability for us to support as many as we possibly can. We're a very small nonprofit, so we struggle with the resources to support as many chapters as are requested to start.
Mm-hmm. Well, the book should be in the bookstore at least, right?
That's right.
In the college bookstore. So let me ask, some of the titles of the chapters, to me, really tell the story of these young adults and survivors and their path through grief. I'm going to share a few that to me are very, very telling. Quote, feeling alone, forced maturity, life transition challenges, changing family relationships. Heather, why don't you share first? Can you share with us some of their stories, or at least tidbits that were shared? I especially hooked into Megan Rizan, I think, Rizan or Rizan, and Daniel C's story. Can you share a little bit, about some of the students and what they shared?
Sure, I think David and I both can do that. I mean, they're all powerful in their own way. And you bring up a good point that what David and I did is that we did work through the narratives looking for kind of themes in them that we saw, and then we organized the narratives by those themes. Although, some of the stories, of course, have all the themes reflected in them. We tried to organize them a bit. And the first one you mentioned, the feeling alone, that's really the sort of highly connected to the title of We Get It, because we really saw that idea of feeling, very alone, in some ways isolated, as a really key factor in most of the narratives that are in the book. And it was this amazing sort of the feeling alone part was like, in a way you didn't want to reach out to people, the students didn't, because they didn't want to sort of bring people down or, sort of
create be anonymous
experience. Right. And yet then they felt so alone. Or some of the stories related to that theme were things like, there was no place to be alone on a college campus. If you have a roommate, how can you be alone? Where can you cry? People, some of the authors talking about crying in the shower or traveling 2 miles to, the shore to be able to cry on the beach, just to sort of be alone, but then also still feeling alone. It was really, that was really a very, very powerful theme. And the forced maturity was a lot about, narratives where they talked about having to think about, significant issues like life and death when their peers were dealing with, I got too many assignments due tomorrow, or, complaining about their parents when, if they could complain about a parent that was still living, they'd give anything to be able to do that. Some of the life transitions were things like, envisioning getting married without a parent or sibling, no longer being there and being physically present. And then things like leaving college when a death loss happened during the college experience and feeling like a sense in that leaving college of the grief really rising again because the grief was so much connected to that college experience. And then a lot about changing family relationships. Like you said, everything changes within a family system. And so some of that was about how each member of the family grieve very differently, and how families work together or try and attempt to communicate about those differences. And so some of the stories really reflected that as well.
It's interesting because, you know, in my family, I mean, that's pretty much the at my lowest point is really how AfterTalk, you know, was born, because it changed all the family relationships. And, you know, people who were family, who you thought you knew, you didn't know the same. And all of a sudden, you know, in a way, it kind of goes full circle to the relationships that you thought you had, you didn't have, and you started to feel alone. You know what I'm saying? Because you didn't have
there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, I think a lot of the themes kind of are kind of overlapping and with each other as well. Are there any stories, or are there anything that that anybody shared with you in particular that you think perhaps someone listening in our audience would say, you know, this will help me, this will give me a leg up? Anything in particular that jumps out at you?
Yeah, I would maybe share Julie's story, and Heather will probably know where I'm going with this. I've always been so amazed in hearing these resilient young people, where one of the ways that they cope with the challenge of grief is actually to support other people going through a similar experience. And Julie is a really great example, where she found out that her father was diagnosed with ALS very early on in her freshman year at Georgetown. And she really struggled with whether she would stay in school or whether she would maybe transfer to a community college near her home. And her father and her mother really wanted her to stay at Georgetown. It was her dream to go there. And she ended up connecting with an older, someone who was, I think, 2 or 3 years older than her at the time, who had also gone through a loss, and found this really wonderful, like, peer mentor, someone who had gone through a lot, who had already lost her father, who could be there for her, and they could, she could kind of see that, oh my gosh, like, of course I don't want to imagine my father not being here, but if and when he passes away from ALS, I can be okay. And that other person who was actually there for Julie was another one of our authors, which is pretty cool to have two authors that did have a relationship and supported one another. But this experience of finding other people who have gone through a similar experience, and first leaning on them, but then once you are in a position where you can be leaned on by others, and that's where Julie got to. She got to a position where she could then be a support for someone else to lean on as she went through college, and unfortunately after her father passed away. But I love that. I love seeing when young people like us can lean on someone's shoulder and then be the shoulder to lean on.
You know what it sounds like to me, and is that, with support, you can go through your grief, walk through it consciously, like really consciously. In other words, like really feeling your pain, really being able to almost have a dialogue or you're outside your body observing yourself very consciously walking through your grief, or walking through your support. There's something, I don't know, kind of beautiful in that. As hard as it is, you know, to be, especially if you're having support from other people, their support is kind of a reflection of you. So it makes things very, you know, conscious. Also, I think it's in some ways somewhat different, but horrible, of course, that her father had ALS, so she got to grieve while he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed to sudden death, which is a whole other walk.
Very different. Yeah, different pathways. I mean, because you can grieve so many things along the way while someone is ill. You don't grieve their death, but you do grieve all the losses that happen along the way.
it's very different experiences. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a lot of grief walks to walk. As I'm listening to you talk and as I started to go through the book, if I had to pick a thread or a force to the power of we get it, it's peers, and group support. And that's kind of what you said. It's a portable support group. So I guess that is the we in we get it. Is that what you intended?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Go
ahead. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. It is the we and we get it.
That's right. And we get it actually was listed by a couple of our authors in their narratives. And they were talking about how when they went to their first support group meeting, how they found people who got it. And so we're trying to be, the title is we, the authors of this book, all of us, the grieving young adults and ourselves, we get what you're going through. And because we get it, we hope that you'll feel comfortable sharing with others.
Mm-hmm. And there's also such a message there in terms of we get it, that we even get that we don't all experience the same thing, which is really mm-hmm. an amazing part of it too, I think. And so like one of the chapters is about, sort of differential grief experiences and how what they thought grief would be like is not what it was. And the way that they were able to express that is amazing. Like Katie talks about how if I could just read a little bit of hers, because it's really powerful.
Oh, absolutely. Love to hear it.
She says, despite these challenges, as she's talked about her grief, I have managed. Of that, I am proud. My priority has always been taking care of myself. And for me, that includes letting myself feel whatever I'm feeling right now. I no longer cry every day, and I can much better handle spending time in large social situations. But my grief shows itself in different ways that are less visible to my friends. People have commented sometimes that I seem better, which makes it sound like they think this is like having the flu. They do not appreciate how grief is complex and multifaceted, and that it will always be with me, even when my living and breathing brother can't be. I just think that really speaks to how eloquently they were able to describe their own experiences, not in a way as peers that they would impose it on each other, but in a way where they're definitely saying, your experience is your own, and we support you in that. There's variability, there's an idiosyncratic way that people grieve, and that's a lot of what these stories are
private
to communicate.
Very, very private. I mean, not to sound too simplistic, but are there tips for moving forward through grief? I know that the stories and the journey of grief can't fit into a 30-minute interview. In some ways, I almost have more questions, now, certainly more than time will allow. But for those young people who are grieving right now, David or Heather, whoever wants to answer first, are there pivotal steps that someone could say, okay, I want to leave the gate, I want to commence, I want to start, I want to gain clarity and strength, which is certainly, their birthright. Is there anything that could be put into, okay, I would do this first, I would do that, would it be seek support? That seems like that would, be some of it. But any steps you could recommend?
So my first, I guess the first response to this is so there are certainly tips. I wouldn't use the term steps because they're really, I think one thing that we do want to communicate through this book is that there is no one way that someone will grieve and there is no one way that someone will make it through or their journey or that will be able to actively move forward. There is no particular path that needs to be taken. So we don't have steps, but in our book we do list a number of tips, and the tips are actually generated based on the stories provided by our students, and I'll just read a few of them that I think are very important. So one is to find a personally meaningful way to memorialize your loved one. So this could be something as like wearing a wedding chain on a birthday of a loved one, or it could be something like creating a program that has the name of your loved one. Others are be kind and patient with yourself in terms of commitments after you lose your loved one. A number of our students and young people talked about how they felt like they just were losing control, and they were because they were struggling with their loss, they couldn't keep up all these other activities. And some people need activities to help. And I think this is the important point I was making earlier. Some people need the activities to help them to move forward. Others need the space and the time to enable them to actively move forward. And so I think that it's really important to remember that there isn't necessarily one way to do it, but what we've done here is to provide tips, guidance, and the one that you said, which is to find support, is a crucial one. The next one, work to connect with your grieving family members and your loved ones. You can find others who are going through a similar experience.
I just want to say that, you know, backtracking just a tad, and thank you for those tips, because, you know, I think they're a kernel that someone could hold on to, you know, and even start with one. David, share with me, AMF has some exciting announcements. Can you share that with our audience?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been using the phrase actively moving forward quite a bit. And that's because that's a phrase that with AMF, AMF, as we shared earlier, is a nonprofit for grieving college students. It initially, I started in memory of my mother after she passed away. Her initials were Anne Marie Fagenbaum. So the group Students of AMF was both a dual acronym for her initials, but also for ailing mothers and fathers. As AMF grew, we grew beyond just helping college students coping with the illness or death of a parent, but towards any grieving college student. And so we got rid of mothers and fathers from the title, and more recently, we've been using actively moving forward. And to continue with that, yeah, we're excited. And actually, and so we still were students of AMF, but now we want to kind of expand even further. And so we've now decided to drop students from our name to be a resource for all grieving young adults, whether they're in college, they're out of college, they choose not to go to college, but they're college age, but all grieving young adults. And so now when I talk about AMF, now it's AMF just is actively moving forward. And we continue to support grieving college students, but we will now also endeavor to reach young adults who are not in college. And the way that we're doing that is by focusing much more on virtual supportive outlets. So posting more through our website, activelymovingforward.org, and providing more resources online than what our traditional model has been, which was very in-person chapter focused. So we had support groups on each campus, but now we're working to reach more people virtually.
That's fantastic. I'm so happy you shared that. Time went quick. We're going to have to close, but I just want to repeat that the book is called We Get It, and it's available on Amazon. The link is www.wegetit.co, not .com, but .co. After talk. And David and Heather know that we will feature a blog on this, but have all the links to your book on our website, which is www.aftertalk.com. And I just want to say, Heather and David, thank you so much for writing this book. It seems like an idea whose time has come. It's very, very important, and I'm so thrilled to be able to share it with our audience and share it with our readers who perhaps have who are young students or young adults, but also who support those who are young adults. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in today to AfterTalk Live. You can visit our website at www.aftertalk.com. And till the next time, wishing you well.